is Daf Samachain. It continues to discuss the law of the Minchas HaOmer, the special offering brought on the second day of Pesach, called the Omer offering. That's a name based on its size. The uniqueness of the Minchas HaOmer is that it was the offering of the new barley, that is barley that had been planted before Pesach, had ripened in the land of Israel, now been harvested, and it was out of it a special Karban Mincha was prepared. This Karban Mincha entailed Geresh v'Karmel. The barley had to be toasted and then ground up into soles, and out of the soles of this barley, a fistful would be taken out, put into the fire by the Kohen. The leftovers of the mincha are eaten by the Kohanim. One of the major themes about the Minchas HaOmer is what our daf's going to discuss, and that was the fact that there were heretical groups of Jews who opposed the timing of the offering of the Minchas HaOmer. The Beit Tusim, this was a heretical group of Jews who denied the oral tradition, the Torah Shebaal Peh. So they wanted that everyone should listen to God. They accepted that God gave the Torah, but they said that the Torah means what we think it means. We'll read the text, and the simple, understanding that we have of the text, that's the meaning of the Torah. So the Beit Tusim, they read it in the text. It says, Mimacharas HaShabbos, on the morrow of the Sabbath. So they said that means that the Minchas HaOmer has to be brought on Sunday. So let's say Pesach is on Tuesday. You'd wait until Sunday, according to them, to cut the barley. You wait till Sunday to wave the Minchas HaOmer. You wait till Sunday to put the fistful into the fire. And then only starting from Sunday would you start the Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the days, to get to Shavuos. So this was a major source of controversy. We believe that Mimachras HaShabbos in this context does not refer to the day after the seventh day, to Sunday, but rather it refers to the day after the first day of Yom Tov of Pesach. It refers to the day after Yom Tov, the second day of Pesach. We think no matter what day of the week the second day of Pesach is, whether the second day of Pesach is Monday or Shabbos, whatever it is, starting on the second day of Pesach, we're going to cut the barley. We're going to do all the service during the night to prepare the barley into soles. We're going to do the service that day during the day of the second day of Pesach. And we're going to start counting Sfiras HaOmer from the second day of Pesach. So that was a source of great dispute with the Beit Tusim. It was a matter of great friction. And that was one of the major emphases that we wanted to show that they were wrong and make very public to reject this heresy, and that everyone should be following the tradition of Chazal. Yeah?
So they would count Omer always, first day would be Sunday.
For them, correct. Omer starts on Sunday, and
Shavuot would end up always the same day.
Shavuot is always on a Sunday, according to them. Exactly. They always have Shavuot on a Sunday. And they don't necessarily count 49 days. They count 49 days, but Shavuot wouldn't necessarily be 49 days after Pesach. Shavuot could be 55
Sunday.
Days after Pesach, 53, depending on that Sunday.
If there was a Sunday, would it be?
What's that?
The first day of Pesach fell on Sunday, it would be the first day of Pesach.
No. They'd do the next Sunday, the seventh day of Pesach.
By the way, this is
one
of the
eighth day of Pesach.
Even on Yom Tov, they don't take the first words off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So some say from the beginning,
Moshe Yom
Shabbat, because they say Yom Tov is
also
Shabbat, they don't change the words.
Ah, they assume that Yom Tov is Shabbat,
Shabbat.
Even other Yom
Tovim
besides Pesach?
Yeah. So they just say the whole is Moshe, they don't take off. Some say they don't take off the beginning.
Wow, very nice.
They say that every Yom Tov.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
Again, prove the Beit Tusim wrong. Very nice.
Adam Baruch Haba Nadav.
I just guessed what
please.
Shabbat. I remember Rosh Hashanah, we had this thing with
Rosh Hashanah falling what days?
Right, Lo Adu Rosh.
Yeah, but also here, Lo Badu Pesach. So this can only work.
But we didn't have a calendar.
Yeah, but so when we have a calendar, Pesach can never fall on Friday. Lo Badu Pesach.
Okay. But we, but this Gemara is when we were Makadosh Al, yeah, Makadosh Al Pi Ra'iyah. Exactly, when they were sanctifying the months based on the witnesses.
Even the Machloket was on the Levanayas. I mean,
but that was also the reason why we had all the problems with the witnesses, and we had the problems of the signals, and the Baitusim would create the signals on the wrong nights, was because they were trying to manipulate the calendar to get to this result that Mimachras HaShabbos should be on a Sunday, that the Sunday should be the second day of Pesach. That's why we had to go from the fire signals to emissaries, and then we had the problem of Sveika Diyom. It all becomes back to this problem of the Bait Tusim. So now the Mishnah.
Ketzad
Heinosin. How do they do the cutting of the barley to create the solas, which is going to be part of the Minchas HaOmer? So says the Mishnah, Samachei Amud Aleph, Shluchei Bezdin Yotzin Me'erev Yom Tov. The emissaries of Bezdin would go out on the day before Yom Tov, Erev Yom Tov. But Osin Osan Krichos B'Mechubar LaKarka. And they would make bundles of the barley which is still attached to the ground. So they take barley attached to the ground and wrap a little string around it, so that come Motzoei Yom Tov, you know, 29 hours later, 36 hours later, it'll be easy to come with the sickle and just cut it off. But they don't have so much time. The night of Yom Tov, they have to do a lot. They have to cut the barley, they have to grind the barley. So they would prepare the barley for the Mincha Ta'omer on the day before Yom Tov. So we are learning about the Mincha Ta'omer. This is the special offering brought by the nation on the second day of Pesach. It is a Mincha offering, and through this offering, the new grain, the Chadash, is now permitted. And now people are allowed to eat from the new grain. So how would they prepare it? The Shluchei Bezdin would go out on Erev Yom Tov before Pesach and make bundles. They would make bundles, b'mechubah l'karkan, that which is attached to the ground. Kidei sheyehe noach liktzor. So it'll be easy and pleasant to cut it down. Kala yaros hasmuchos l'sham. So they wanted this to be a very public event. They wanted everybody to see that we were cutting down on Motzoei Yom Tov, because they wanted everyone to see that we're rejecting the view of the Baitusim that would be waiting for the Sunday. So therefore, to have this Berov Am, Kol HaYaros HaSmuchos L'Sham, all the cities that were near there, Miskansos L'Sham, would gather to this field near Yerushalayim, Kedei Sheyei Niktzar Be'esek Gadol, so that the cutting which would occur on after Yom Tov, right? The cutting that's occurring on Motzoei Yom Tov, right before the night of the second day of Pesach, should happen with a very big event. Kevon Shech Shecha. Okay, so you have a huge crowd that gathers on Yom Tov once the sun sets. Omer Lohen. So the Kohen who's cutting, or as we saw before, sometimes it was three Kohanim cutting. So the Kohanim would say to the crowd, Ba Shemesh, did the sun set? Omrim, and they would say back, Hin, yes, the sun has set. He would then ask a second time, Ba Shemesh, did the sun set? Omrim, and they would say again, Hin, yes. In fact, the Mishnah is going to say that he would ask a third time, did the sun set? And they would say, yes. Then he would say, Magalzu, should I be using this sickle? Omrim Hain. They'd say, yes. And he'd say it another two times. Magalzu, should I use this sickle? Omrim Hain. They would say, yes. And then another time. Then he would say, Kupazu, should I take the barley and put it into this box after I cut it? Omrim Hain. They'd say, yes. Kupazu, should I take the barley after I cut it and put it into this box? They would say, yes. Omrim Hain. And then a third time. Kupazu, should I take the barley that I'm cutting and put it into the box? And they would say yes. B'Shabbos, and if Motzei Yom Tov, after the Yom Tov, it was Friday night, it was Shabbos. Omer Lemi used to say to the crowd, remember all the cities around Yerushalayim are there. Shabbosu, is it Shabbos? Should I be cutting on Shabbos? Omer Mehen, they'd say yes. Shabbosu, again, is it Shabbos? Omer Mehen, they'd say yes. Third time, Shabbosu, say yes. Ektzor, should I cut on Shabbos? Hey, Omer Lo, they'd say, Ktzor, cut. Ektzor, should I cut now? Hey, Omer Lo, Ktzor, they'd say, cut. Shalosh pa'am malkol davar v'davar. Each question. Is it night? Should I use the sickle? Is it Shabbos? Should I cut? Should we put what I cut into the box? Each question would be said three times. They ain't omim lo, and you have this thunderous response. They'd all be saying, Hain, Hain, Hain. Yes, yes, yes. Kol kach lama. So why do you have to have such a ritual with so many steps? So much noise, so many obvious questions with the obvious answers. Mipnei baitusim, all of this was done because of the baitusim. The baitusim were a heretical sect, a group of Jews that said they accept that God exists, that God gave the Torah, but they don't accept the traditions, they don't accept the interpretations of the Torah, they don't accept Gemara, they don't accept Mishnah, they only accept their reading of the Torah. They used to say, "Ink tzirata omer b'motzei yom tov." They used to say, "You can't cut the omer after yom tov. You cut the omer when it's yom rishon, when it's motzei Shabbat, when it's after Shabbat, macharat Shabbat, not after yom tov. You do it after Shabbos, not after yom tov." So to show that they're wrong, we would have this huge crowd and everybody announcing it that we are cutting the omer. To show that the Baisusim are wrong.
The Baisusim, the same thing?
So, no, they're not the same thing, but they're similar. They were at the same time. These were different sects that had the same heresy. There was the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that Antignos Ish Socho had two students, Tzadok and Baisos, and they became heretics because he said, Antignos had said, don't serve God for the sake of a reward. Serve God like servants that are just doing it because they have to do it. They're supposed to do it. It's the right thing to do. So the Baitusim and the Sadducees and the Tzedukim, Tzadok and Baisos, they weren't good students. They didn't really understand what their teacher was saying. They said, our teacher is saying there is no reward. There's no world to come. There's just this world. So then they became heretical about many other matters as well. And they didn't accept the oral tradition of the rabbis. They would just interpret it, the simple text. And this is a heresy that keeps repeating itself. The Karaim, who live 1,000 years later in Bavel, in Iraq, in the days of Rav Sajagon, they also say the same thing. They say, we are Karaim. We read the Mikra. We read the text, the verse. We don't accept the oral traditions. And I met a guy. A really wonderful guy, very kind person, very generous philanthropist, and he's very involved in the Jewish community, but unfortunately he's not so observant. So someone said to him, why are you not observant? He said, I'm a Karaite. So I only take the literal text of what the Torah says. I believe in the Ten Commandments, I believe in the Jewish people, but I don't accept the oral tradition. So the fellow said, but you drive on Shabbat, so, you know, one of the Ten Commandments is don't violate the Shabbat. And the Torah text says, don't burn a fire on Shabbat. You turn on a car, you're burning a fire. He said, I'm a non-observant Karaite. Sort of wonder, like, so then why be a Karaite? Be a non-observant Pharisee. But it's a long-standing temptation to say, well, we just take the written text. The rabbis, you know, they didn't get it right in their tradition. That was the temptation, and that's what the Baitusim were all about.
Conservative and reform is...
I don't think so. I think the reform go much further. The reform believe that they wanted to reform. They wanted to change it. So they want to change all of Judaism. The original reformers in the early 1800s lobbied against circumcision. You know, they lobbied to not do Brit Milah. I mean, they were very... against text as well, and the conservative is you know, they want to conserve, they want to hold on to the religion.
When
so they
sit next to you.
They wanted to hold on to as much as they could and to be as lenient as possible, but you know, unfortunately, it doesn't seem to have worked out. But they did want, they did ostensibly say that they were you know, that they were believers in the Torah and in the tradition as well. They did say that they believe in the oral tradition. They were not Sadducees.
They
did?
I thought they
The conservatives said that they did believe in the tradition, but they believed that they could find ways to be more lenient than the traditional Orthodox. But they did say that they believed in the tradition.
By traditional to
the right to see. Modern Orthodox.
What's that?
Traditional to the right to see. I think there is here Kiddush Hashem, Chivuv Mitzvah, by everybody coming.
Right. Yes. We had to show that the Beit Hussein were wrong. Okay, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, our sages told another Braisa. So this Braisa is from a text called Megillat Ta'anit. Megillat Ta'anit is a text that has a list of special days, days that minor miracles occurred on them. And because of these special days, these minor miracles, the rabbis in the times of the Second Temple instituted that maybe it's a holiday or a minor holiday, so no eulogies, or maybe even more, no fasting on the day. Tanar Rabbanan looked in this text, Megillas Tanis, Ilan Yomaya, here are a series of days, Delolis Ana Bahon, these are days of no fasting, but they're not so celebratory, you could have eulogies on them, Umiktsas Hon, and some of these days, Delolim Ispad Bahon, that you can't even have eulogies, you can't fast and you can't eulogize. So, Meresh Yarcha de Nisan, from the first day of the month of Nisan, Ad Timnaya, until the 8th, these are days of no fasting, but yes, eulogizing. Why? Itokam Tmida. What's so celebratory about these days? It was the time when we were able to correct the mistakes about the daily sacrifice. We were able to establish correctly what the daily sacrifice laws are. So, Lola Mispat. So it should be. Rashi says it. It should be. It changes it. It should be Delo L'Misano. So you shouldn't fast. Umitimnaya be'ad sof ma'ada, and from the 8th until the end of the holiday. And therefore, itos of Chagah de Shavuos, we were able to establish the holiday of Shavuos, and therefore, Delo L'Mispad. Therefore, there shouldn't be even any eulogies. I'm sorry, the opposite. This should be Delo L'Isana, shouldn't be any eulogies, and earlier it should be Delo, shouldn't be any fasting. Earlier it should be Delo L'Mispa, not to have any eulogies. So, Meresh Yarcha, the Nisan, from the beginning of Nisan, Vatim Naya, Bay till the 8th, that's when we were able to succeed. Itokam Tmida, we were able to succeed to get everybody to accept the right laws about the Karban Tamid, and therefore it's totally celebratory, not only not fasting, the Lola Mispa, not even to have eulogies. Shahayu Tzedokim Omrim. The Sadducees were saying, so they had the same belief system as the Baisusim. The Sadducees were saying, Yachid Misnadev Umevi Tamid. Even an individual can donate out of his own money and give the Karban Tamid, the daily sacrifice. So again, they're always based on the simple text. My Darsh, what was the simple text? The verse says, Esakev Esachad, one sheep, ta'aseva boker, you should do in the morning. So it doesn't say ta'asu, the plural tense of doing, it's ta'aseh. He should do, you should do. So you should do, one person does. Yeah. And the second sheep you should do in the evening. So Maya Hadru, what was the response that the rabbis used to ultimately reestablish correctly what the right meaning is? The verse says, as karbani lachmi li'ishai, my karban, which gives me bread for my fires, and Tishmeru. So Tishmeru, is that plural or singular? No. It's plural. Tishmeru. Okay. You should keep. Yeah. Not Tishmor. Yeah. So that's saying Shiyukulan Bayin Michuma Salishka. So you should keep it. That means it has to come from the nation, from the half shekels that are donated by the whole nation.
Rabbi.
Yeah?
The way the Gemara talks says is that is, or at least the way they describe it here, is the proper sacrifice, the daily offering, was established. And that's what they were celebrating. But this just, they're giving the same sacrifice. The only question is who brings the sacrifice? An individual or the community? Because it's still the Kevasacha Tasev Bokar, Kevasashini Tasev and Arbaya. The sacrifice is still the same. The only question is who's giving it, an individual or the community?
Well, we were celebrating that our argument had won the day, and everybody was now accepting that the Baitusi argument is rejected.
But what's the Nafkamina? Who cares who cares who's giving it, the individual or the community? Someone is giving.
Well, Nafkamina is where they take money.
It wouldn't be kosher.
I know that, but
it wouldn't be kosher.
Why is that relevant?
It wouldn't be kosher. No, if an individual gave it wouldn't be kosher. Right. So we always celebrate the fact that their approach was widely rejected, became widely known that it's wrong.
According
very happy
to them,
about
like
that.
Everybody can make the korban tamid.
Each individual could bring it. That's right.
For a million.
Okay. Then the next celebratory season, Mitimnaya Bay, from the 8th of Nisan, Vaad Sof Moada, until the end of the holiday, Itos of Chaga Deshvua. That was a celebratory time because then we were able to establish and have accepted the real right way to celebrate the holiday of Shavuos. Therefore, the Lolis Anos, that's a time of not fasting, not a time of not eulogizing, but at least a time of not fasting. Rashi explains that there wasn't such a good proof to establish Shavuos. So that's why it wasn't so celebratory. Whereas when in regards to the Karban Tzamid, we had a very good proof. Basically, it's an explicit text, the word Tishmeru. So it's a very good proof. They were really thrown out through it. But with Shavuos, we're going to see that the Gemara struggles exactly how we know that they're wrong. So therefore, it wasn't so celebratory. Again, Shayu Baitusim Omrim, the heretics, the Baitusim would say, Atzeres Achar HaShabbos. Shavuos is always 49 days, and therefore 49 days after you start with the Omer, and that means it has to be on Sunday. So, Nitfa Lahem, we have different brisos now. What was the source that they were wrong? Nitfa Lahem, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great sage who led the Jews after the loss of the Second Temple, the leader of all the Sanhedrin and Yavne, so he got involved with them. Rabban Lahem, he said to them, show to me, you fools. How would you know such a thing? So none of them had the chutzpah to give him an answer. Except for a single elderly sage. And he was prattling opposite him. And he was saying like this. Moshe Rabbeinu, Oyev Yisrael Haya. Moshe Rabbeinu, he loved the Jewish people. You know, Shavuos is the shortest Yom Tov. Pesach is 7 days, Sukkot is 7 days, Shavuos is only 1 day off. So Amad v'tikna achar Shabbos. That's why Moshe probably made Shavuos after Shabbos. Deshu Yisrael mas'angin shnei yam. That the Jews should have challenge for 2 days. They should enjoy themselves with good meat for 2 days. Karal of Mikrozes. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said back to him. You know, the verse says, Achadus hayom echorev derech har Seir, the path to the land of Israel through the mountain of Seir would only have been 11 days. And nevertheless, we ended up 40 years in the desert. If you have this logic, Moshe Rabbeinu loves the Jews, he arranges things that it should be comfortable for the Jews. So why does Moshe delay the Jews for 40 years in the desert? That's not the way it works. It's not up to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's up to God. Amar lo, so this old Baitusi elder says to him, Rebbe, my teacher, Bekachata Potreni, this is how you reject me. Amar lo, he said to him, Shota, you fool. Lote Torah Shlema Shalanu Kesicha Batela Shalachem. Our perfect Torah shouldn't be like your empty conversations. I'll tell you what's the answer. So now we're going to have a whole series of proposals. One, Kasav Echad Omer, where the verse says, Tisperu chamishim yom. You should count 50 days. It says count 50 days. Okay. But on the other hand, we have another verse, because of Echad Omer, another verse seems to contradict it. It says, Sheva Shabuo, Sheva Shabbosos, Temimos Tihiyena. 7 weeks complete weeks. You should have 7 complete weeks. So it's not 50 days. It sounds like it's 49 days. So Ketzad, so what's the answer? Han b'yom tov shechalios b'shabbos. If Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, so then you start counting on Sunday, and you have a total of 7 weeks. You end with this final Shabbos. Can be Yom Tov Shechalios B'Emtzah Shabbos. And if Yom Tov falls out in the middle of the week, so then you start counting in the middle of the week, and you end up with 50 days. You don't end up with a Shabbos. You don't end with Sheva Shabbosos, with the seventh Sabbath. End up counting the 50 days, and the 50th day is the day of Shavuot. So that's the proof. Since it says Chamishin Yom, and on the 50th day, it's going to be Shavuot. It already said Sheva Shabbosos, 7 Shabbosos. That's to tell you, sometimes it's not going to be ending on a Shabbos. Sometimes it'll be days. It'll be in the middle of the week. All right, that was one proposal. Another proposal. Rebbe Lazar Omer, Rebbe Lazar Zeno Tzarech. You don't need to say that explanation. I have a different verse. Arei Omer, the verse says, Sheva Shabbosos, Shiva Shavuos, I'm sorry, it says 7 weeks, Tispar Lach, you shall count. Tispar Lach, you shall count. The 7 weeks, you are counting. Shiva Shavuos, Tispar Lach, Mehachel Chermesh Bakama, when you start the harvesting, Tachel Lispar, that's when you begin the count, the Sheva Shavuos, the Sheva Shabbosos, the 7 Shabbosos. So the verse, Ari Rome, it says, Shiva Shavuos, Tispar Lach, you shall count. Now who's the you? That means that Tzvira Tluya Bebezdin. That means that the court is the one who's counting. So we have to look at the day the court began it. And then from what the day the court set, that's how we count 7 weeks. Now Yom Tov is set by the court. But Shabbos is not set by the court. Every seventh day is Shabbos. The day of Yom Tov is set by the court because they determine when Rosh Chodesh is. But the day of Shabbos is not set by the court. That's every seventh day. So therefore, since it says Tispar Lach, that the court is doing the counting, Sfira Tluya Bebezdin, Shehem Yodim L'Chadesh, they know when the Rosh Chodesh is, Mimachras HaShabbos. So therefore it must mean Mimachras HaShabbos means Machras Yom Tov, the day after Yom Tov, Yatsa Shabbos Bereishis. And it can't be that right after the seventh day, Shasfirasa B'chaladim, that doesn't need a court. You don't need to involve a court to figure out when the day after the seventh day is, because everybody has knowledge of when Shabbos is, when the seventh day is. So that's a second possible source. So one source is from the fact that it says Tisperu Chamishim Yom, count 50 days, when it already said Sheva Shabbosos. Sheva Shabbosos would have implied you're ending on Shabbos. Tisperu Chamishim Yom means you just count days, you don't have to end on a Shabbos. So maybe that's the source. Or the source is from the fact Shiva Shavuos Tispar Lach, for you a count of 7 weeks, implying that you look to Beis Din, the date that Beis Din determined as Yom Tov, and from that date you keep counting. That must mean it's not Shabbos, because Shabbos, you don't need to look to a Beis Din. Beis Din has no role in creating Shabbos.
All right, that proof's not so great, because Beis Din could make a leap year, so you need to know which other year you're counting from.
Oh, that's even better. Again, you have to look to Beis Din. You have to see what Beis Din established. Shabbos, though, you don't need Beis Din for Shabbos. Shabbos is always coming. The Torah is saying you have to look at the Beis Din, you have to find out what they did. So that means it can't be Shabbos. Shabbos is not something that Beis Din does. Shabbos happens on its own without Beis Din.
Based on this, the second day of Shavuos is really not the second day of Shavuos doesn't make sense, because you already caught up what Pesach was and you count for 50 days.
No, the second day is because we don't know.
Yeah, but we do know, because we caught up already when the first day of Pesach should have been.
No, we don't know. Maybe our first day of Pesach was wrong. We act as if all of our days are
second. Isn't this why we have the second day? Because by the time they got out to tell the world, it took days to get it.
And some places that were far from Yerushalayim didn't hear. So they had to...
20 days, whatever it was, but then you...
Oh, so you're saying that back in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, maybe it would take 2 weeks, but by Shavuos they should have known.
Exactly.
Interesting. Okay. They established it for all the holidays. Rabbi Yeshua gave a third source, how the Baitusim are wrong. It's what we call a mamatzina. We find something in one place, so we learn from there to other places. Amra Torah Mane Yamin V'Kadesh Chodesh. The Torah says, count days and then make a Rosh Chodesh. And the Torah says, Mane Yamin, count days V'Kadesh Atzeres. And after you count days, you make Shavuos. So machodesh, just like Rosh Chodesh, samoch lebi aso nikar, you can tell. You know, once the moon reappears, you know how to start counting. Afatzeres, so to regard to Shavuos and counting 50 days. It's samach lebiyaso nikeres. It has to be that when the time of the counting is starting from a set time, from a time that you can recognize. If you're going to say that we're counting from Sunday, so then it all depends on each year. One year, Sunday is the second day. One year, the second day is Tuesday. So Sunday is going to be, you know, 5 or 6 days later. So you don't have something nikar, you know, an aware, a clearly apparent date of when to start. We know that when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, we have an apparent time when to start. When there's the molad, every 29 and a half days is the molad, now you start counting. But here, we're saying it's not necessarily a set time. Bim Tomar, if you're going to say, Atzeres Le'olam Achra Shabbos, that Shavuos is always going to be after Shabbos, Heyechtei Keres Mishel Lefanel. How do you have the beginning of the count at a set and recognizable time? Rabbi Yishmael said, Amra Torah, Havei Omer ba-Pesach. The Torah says, bring the Korban Omer on Pesach, U'shtei Alechem ba-Atzeres, and bring the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. So again, a comparison. Mala halan, just like over there, in regards to the Shtei Alechem, Regel Tchilas Regel, we bring this carbon on Shavuos at the beginning of the holiday. Afkan, so too, when we have a Regel, we have a carbon connected to the holiday, namely the Minchas HaOmer, it should be Tchilas Regel, in the beginning of the holiday. If you're going to say we keep waiting for Sunday, so then it might end up being at the end of the holiday. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir brought another proof. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir Omer, Namar Shabbos Lamala. It says in regards to the Omer, Sfartim Lachem Yimachras HaShabbos. Here's the count for Yerusha Omer on the morrow of the Shabbos. V'namar Shabbos Lamata. And it says in regards to the Shtei Alechem, Ad Yimachras HaShabbos HaShviyis, till the end of the seventh Shabbos, to Spruch HaMishim Yom, you count 50 days, V'kravta Mincha Chadash, and you'll bring a new Mincha. So Ma Lahalan, just like in regards to the Shtei Alechem, Regel, Utchilas Regel Samuchla, that right at the end of the seventh week, at the Machras HaShabbos HaShviyis, you have the holiday. Afkan, so to in the regard to the beginning, the Minchas Omer Regel Utchilas Regel Samuchla, the time of the bringing of the Omer is close to the beginning of the holiday. So that has to be near the first day and not just whenever it is Sunday. Tanur Rabbanan Lundin Abraisa, the Torah says, Usfartem Lachem. And you are to count Sfira Sa'omer. That tells you Shatei Sfira L'chol Echad V'Echad. Sfira Sa'omer has to be counted by each person. It's not that the nation through the court counts Sfira Sa'omer. Each individual has to count Sfira Sa'omer. Then the verse says, Mimachras HaShabbos, on the morrow of Shabbos. It doesn't mean on Sunday. Mimachras Yom Tov. It means the day after holiday. Oh, Eino Ella L'machra Shabbos Bereishis. Maybe it means on a Sunday, after the Shabbos of the creation of the world. Answers the Gemara. Again, similar answers to what we saw. Rabbi Yehuda says, Arei Omer Tisprich Hamishim Yom. It says you should count 50 days. That tells you, Kol Sfiro Shata Sofer L'Yuhu El Hamishim Yom. You should only be counting 50 days. Now, if you're going to say that you always count with the Sunday, Im Tomar, if you're going to say that you always count with Sunday, Mimachra Shabbos Bereishis, that you start this count of 7 weeks with the Sunday after the Omer was brought, or the Sunday after Pesach, after the Yom Tov of Pesach. So Pamshatamotz Chamishim Echad Yom. So let's say it's the first day of Pesach was Erev Shabbos, then the second day of Pesach was Shabbos. You can end up with a total of 52 days until you get to Shavuot. Sometimes Pamshatamotz 51 days then. Sometimes it'll be 52 days, sometimes it'll be 53, sometimes 54, sometimes 55, Sometimes chamishim v'shisha, sometimes 56. So since the Torah says tisperu chamishim yom, you have to count 50 days, and on the 50th day it's Shavuos. So clearly it doesn't mean that we start counting with Sunday. We start counting the day after the Yom Tov of Pesach. And we start counting on the second day of Pesach. So to summarize what we learned today in the Daf, we learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught that the way in which the Minchas Omer was brought was with a very big public spectacle. It would start on Erev Yom Tov of Pesach, when they would bundle together the barley in the fields, and then right when Yom Tov would end, there would already be a huge crowd. All the cities near Yerushalayim would be in this barley field next to Yerushalayim, and the Kohanim would, the three Kohanim would be standing there with their sickles, and they would say, "Is it night?" And the whole crowd would say, "Yes." Again, "Is it night?" "Yes." "Is it night?" "Yes." "Should we use the sickles?" "Yes." "Should we use the sickles?" "Yes." "Should we use the sickles?" "Yes." "Should we cut the barley and put it into the box?" "Yes." Again, three times. "Should we, if it's Shabbos, is it Shabbos tonight? Should we do it?" "Yes, you should do it." And then they would finally start cutting. And the reason why it was so public was Lahotzi mi liban shel baitusim, to disprove the baitusim and the tzedukim, these heretical groups that thought that since the Torah says in Machras HaShabbos Tisbru Chamishim Yom, that we only do the Omer ritual and the count on a Sunday, we wanted to prove that no, we do it on the day after Yom Tov. And the Gemara says that this is based on a series of, the source for this is not so clear what the source is. Maybe it's a Hekesh, maybe it's the language Chamishim Yom, maybe it's other drashos. But the bottom line is, this was our tradition, that we do it the day after Yom Tov, not on the Sunday that follows the Yom Tov.